services as a mandatory Medicaid service if consistent with state law permitting such service. And this change in legislation would then make state law, consistent with that.
What's the cost? That Medicaid program is one we probably ought to someday consider just dropping the whole.
I don't think that this would make any change since it's been available as an option before. And I think this would maintain the current status.
How many do we have?
I don't know, I'll get Mel to,
Oh, I have no objection to the introduction anyway, so.
Okay, it's gonna go through a lot of committees.
Yeah, so, we'll find out when we come to it.
For which, this?
Of Medicaid for real.
It's just an introduction, the real thing? I think it was a committee substitute.
Where is it?
I just took it out to the copy.
Oh, okay.
She'll bring it in when she has it.
Kronborg.
I think, tomorrow we have two bills, the permanent fund discussion.
What do you have?
510, SB 511, SB 539, and then just.
539? We have a number of, permanent fund bills tomorrow, and also the D2 steering council. Unless you want to take a D2 today? But people that know something about it are Crofton or Cini, unless you want to get Cooper over.
Or Cini will still be out of town, but Crofton, I don't know, is Crofton out of town?
Yeah.
Yeah, both supporting it, are they not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's the D2 explanation. I don't really think it accomplishes anything, but I think we have to fund it.
How much money does it have?
$890.
Boy, that just burns me, you know, when that much money could be used for something that we could be successful with.
Do you have a backup on it?
I have the backup, and I do need to.
There's money, and they're just committed to it.
Yeah, right, it was a paragraph explaining each sum of money, which is not a greatest financial.
It's enough to make you sick, but you don't have to vote for it.
No, we'll get Cooper over tomorrow.
John, do you want this, is there any mechanical way you can have this bottle bill printed? See, I've got a redraft in here.
Sure, oh, come over to the committee substitute and decide, no.
No, I can't, till there's some action by the committee, I've got the committee substitute all here.
You want to introduce the committee substitute? Or the new bill?
No.
Oh, what's the substitute?
No, it's the bottle, no.
Okay, without objection, I'd like to bring up for discussion Senate Bill 440, to Senator Buckovich, as he asked me to bring it up.
I just realized the letter of intent is attached that says intent on CSSB 400, so we should change that.
Well, can't help you, excuse me. Okay, the sum of $250,000 is appropriated from general fund to AAIDC for dispersion to the planning commission, other entities to assist the commission, one, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It just changes, went from fish and game. And, was writing this.
Yeah.
And submitting, then they got a last part of their submitting a report on the foregoing effort to the legislature by February 1, 1979. They added that part.
Why didn't the fish and game want this, I slipped on that?
Because they do not regulate, the great whales, nor do they want anything to do with them.
Or know anything about it.
They don't want to be out there.
They don't want to be out there with the whales.
That's right. They know a loser when they see it.
Okay, is there, any questions on this, huh?
They'll take beluga.
What does it do? I don't understand the question.
It just has, Hickox, AI, whatever it is,
Already diverted information.
AEIDC, group, administer the dispersment of funds and see that they're gathered in a manner that's of some scientific value. And if they're the ones that have been working with the Eskimo up there, they feel they can tell them what information's of value and what information isn't, so that.
They're supposed to determine the whale population, right?
Monitor the subsistence harvest, reduce the number of birds struck and lost.
No,
Does that need to have some new equipment or something?
All I have to do is stop counting. The old ones, the old one touched the black powder bomb off with the harpoon, and a lot of the kids up there have been firing it with a shoulder gun, which just means that's what they want to stop. And the Eskimos are pretty well realized they have to stop that.
How many people are in this village?
Oh, Eskimos, 9 or 10.
9 or 10 of the old people.
No, you're supposed to say thoughts up.
Yeah, John of Bungalow is from, from Gamble, and I think they have.
They're all whale hunters.
They're
the old whale hunters.
And the old whale hunters disapprove of what the kids are doing too, so what you've done.
So we need a motion on committee substitute?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move, ask for unanimous consent of committee substitute for Senate Bill number 440, and pass for committee for the pass recommendation.
Is there objection?
On your quorum.
Let me see if I can get Cooper right now, to bring up that, K2.
All right, so we gotta eat this other thing in. I don't wanna hear too much about it, too much, but I was still waiting.
That is for the week.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I.
Did you look at that calendar we have today?
No.
One citation on there, Governor Hammond.
Governor Hammond.
By Zither.
You're right. It'll be almost one of those things.
Safari Club or something.
All that.
For helping to save the ecology in Alaska.
Well, Hunter.
You're kidding.
Though somebody's horsing around, yeah.
Only at least wait for two people that we have on here today. It's the only thing on the calendar.
That's the Hunter's Club.
We've all been around here long enough to remember the days when the only citations that we heard about were those that we gave to Bill Ray to be fixed, right?
Yeah, right.
There you go.
Oh, thank you.
House Bill 852.
Don't talk long, we know we have to eat it.
652, I move to ask unanimous consent to bring up committee substitute for House Bill 652.
Don't you think we should prep for the calendar?
Without objection, Mr. Cooper is here to speak about the appropriation for $896,000. Steve, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The members of the committee should have a breakout of the amount approved by the D2 Steering Council. The numbers are fairly loose. There were essentially two ways of going about this. One of them was for the council to approve the appropriations that we knew we'd need, and then wait as the session went along to see if possibly other things would be needed. Instead of that, the council chose to ask for money, all the money that we might need in the event of any contingency, with the idea that possibly some of it wouldn't be used and we could lapse it if it was unnecessary. So what we've got here represents really the philosophy of the council that we better have the money ready in case we need it. Staff and operations is, of course, the office that we have in Anchorage, plus two full-time staff members, Sharon Long and Becky Tisher. Incidentally, the appropriation goes all the way to the end of the year. It should be all the money that the council would need. Planning and counseling is essentially Mike Rowan's end of the stick. He's been advising us on it. I might say that he's done a very good job. Travel Speakers Bureau is essentially to send any not only members of the council and staff, but also members of the legislature who are not members of the council and other persons in Alaska that can speak with authority on any of the subjects that the legislation covers. The communications is just telephone, telegraph, and telex, and that is in line with what's been spent so far. The legal representation, we've got the Birch firm in in Washington and Alaska. They have offices both in Alaska and in Washington. And it was, as it was presented to us originally, we thought the amount was $150,000, of which 50 would be used for the firm of Moss, Frink, and Franklin, which is Ted's former Senator Ted Moss of Utah. However, as it developed, that was not correct. The proper figure would be $200,000. There would be $150,000 for Birch and $50,000 for Moss, Frink, and Franklin. So there should be an extra $50,000 there. Moss, incidentally, is a former U.S. Senator, and he is getting us in the door over there in the Senate. I think he's extremely valuable. Birch has three full-time attorneys who are doing nothing but this, and plus a paralegal, which has been excellent. The materials, reproductions, printing, graphics design, and radio production are pretty much self-explanatory. TV for film production and broadcast time purchase. This would be essentially a 30-minute film, which we'd have on really on file in case we need to buy nationwide time. I thought that was a little bit, I didn't think we needed that, but the council did, and I'm going to back it because it did. But I don't know if we will spend that money. But the council did take the position that we ought to go ahead and ask for money in case we do need it. And we do have the producer ready to go. The space purchase, I think, is very important. We've already done a lot of that. We bought editorial type advertising in the Washington Post, the Washington Star. It was very effective. The people who read the editorial types of advertisements, of course, of the congressmen and their staff, and they're the people we're trying to reach, and it was very successful in Washington. I thought people were talking about it over that period of time that we were there in Washington. direct mail is pretty self-explanatory. Survey research for congressional attitudes. Really, we did one of these already. It was quite valuable because we discovered that many of the congressmen didn't have any idea what D2 was all about, and that led to the production of that little film that we did, which I think woke a lot of people up. Also, this contains money to buy in on questions in a Gallup or Harris poll nationwide to determine the attitudes of people throughout the country. Special consultants is just where you have to have you have to buy somebody to tell you about old things like how people look at land issues in other areas of the country. Evaluations and reports is miscellaneous expenses. Those things are pretty self-explanatory there. The USA News Media Campaign is the contract that the council approved with Red Voucher last week, pending the funding, of course. But Red will have a contract which we would expect to approve in the next couple of weeks, which would allow him and a staff person to go around to the newspaper editors of the major dailies throughout the country and to tell our side of the story. Now, he already knows those people because of his contacts during the pipeline debate, and he's kept in contact with them, and I think that is one of the single most valuable things that we can do. He's ready to go. He'll be ready to go in about 2 weeks. his contract...
That's a $70,000.
Yeah.
U.S. media, news media.
Just now, his contract has a maximum of $50,000 on it, George. But if it needs to be expanded a bit, there's that slack in the budget. The news feed operation is in connection with this proposal of Red Vouchers. And hopefully the way it would work would be do we have something that we believe should be carried in the major daily newspapers and the networks, then we'd get that out, and we'd also have somebody there who would bring it into the editorial, to the editors, and try to get them to run our side of the story. The last item that was added was $15,000 for the D2 Council's contribution to a seminar and work session on cooperative management. This has been one of the things that every Alaskan interest group, except for the conservationists, have been trying to push. And one of the problems seems to be that nobody can come up with a system that everybody's satisfied will work. And there is, Land Use Planning Commission is setting up a seminar in about a month to get experts all over the country to come in and try to put together something that'll actually work from a practical standpoint and will be politically feasible in Washington. So I think it's worth the $15,000. And the committee agreed to add that over the House. There is, or should be, a letter on that to file. If it isn't, I've got it, I can bring it over. I know maybe you don't know. Yeah, I asked for that to be sent over, but apparently it wasn't. So, Mr. Chairman, I guess, as I say, this is in fact, a budget that contemplates the worst possible case. And my best estimate at this time would be that we would not spend this much money. But you never can tell when the situation might change. And it would be particularly rough if we got out of session and suddenly discovered we had to do a media blitz and we didn't have any money. So that's what the council had in mind in recommending the original figure of 831. And that's what the Finance Committee in the House had in mind and recommended the same figure plus those two additions.
I missed this. There's $70,000 for USA Media campaign, and there's $75,000 for feed operation.
Yeah, it's a news feed type of, in other words, where we might cut loose a news release in Anchorage, and we would send them to the people who would then send it out to the major dailies, and somebody would then get in touch, say, with the editor in Indianapolis or Akron or Atlanta, and ask if they had any questions about it, ask them when they're going to run it, and that sort of thing. I think it can be pretty valuable.
Both are the same people, same person?
That hasn't been decided yet, John. We really hadn't.
It's a contingent. I thought USA News Media was the name of the organization.
No, okay. It's just a nationwide campaign. No, there's been no commitment of funds for that purpose yet.
Okay. I have one question. Out of all of this money, besides yourself, who's in charge of disbursing? Do you have an executive director?
Yes. We have an executive director, Sharon Long, whose qualifications are that she was with the Land Use Planning Commission for 2 years, and she was on Gravel staff for 3 years, working only on D2 issues. She's an excellent person, probably the best person we could ever dream up in this position. Also, all major contracts are approved by the D2 Council as a whole. Not, you know, relatively small things, but any contract is debated and argued, voted on by the council. So that it's not, the executive director does not have a free hand in that regard.
How many members got letters from D2 to go travel to other cities?
I got a phone call.
You didn't get one of the letters, though?
Neither did I.
Neither did I.
Okay, here's the way that worked.
I didn't get one.
Okay, here's the way that worked. Senator Coletta was appointed as chairman of a subcommittee to arrange travel by the members to other states. That was about in October, November.
No, probably.
And so he essentially made that decision, and I guess he didn't give any answers that are necessary. It was my understanding that that all members would be accorded that right. The D2 council, after that particular flat, went back and adopted the policy that every member of the legislature would be accorded the right to visit Washington and other states if they wanted to, on the condition that they, you know, familiarize themselves with the issues, and so that they would be a knowledgeable advocate for Alaska's position, and that would be the only criteria. So the policy, I suppose, has changed since those letters went out.
I don't think
Do you have a packet of background materials that you give to that person?
Yeah. Yeah, the council headquarters has that in Anchorage.
How would we get that?
Just write it there.
Right, Sharon Long.
Yeah. Coletta should have it.
1016 West 6th Avenue, that's the same place we're
delivering in. Yeah, same thing. Coletta's in charge of putting that together, incidentally. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's just something like a chance.
Should have packed up that here, I imagine.
Yep.
She was talking, we wanted packets for the whole thing, right? That all everything down, detailed explanation for each one, the dollar amount. Sharon would have that?
Yeah.
My interest is the issue. Background materials for the issue for D2.
The issue of D2.
Yeah. George, I to answer that question, it's my understanding that Mike either is or has put together a packet that's
all. Oh, you mean the travel?
No, just if we're going to send people around, I wonder how well prepped we are.
That's what I meant.
With our background materials.
There's travel.
One of the things is that people are going to have different areas of expertise, so it'll have to be just a general approach. But
I'm not going to say it.
I can't think of anything that will wipe us out quicker than having this 60 clown.
That's how come I'm not going to make the motion to take the money out.
That one I really don't think is a good idea.
Incidentally, there was a proposal in the original presentation to the D2 council to send the entire legislature back, and that was deleted by the council to start with.
Oh, this is Alaska Airlines special flight?
Oh.
Public objected.
Maybe
as long as there was one-way tickets for a
package. Yeah, right there. The ones they wanted probably could find their own way back.
Are there further questions for Steve?
No questions?
No.
$1 million.
I know it.
Another question.
I'll give you a forthright, determined no rank.
Mr. Chairman.
Pleasure.
Right. I move that is this a committee session?
No.
The House Bill 652 is amended. Be passed from committee with individual recommendations.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try a few passes. Is there an objection?
No way. I'm not going to sign it. I'm going to sit right there and see what the wind is blowing on the table.
I'm going to sign.
Thanks.
So your chair is going to do pass.
Thank you.
Well, I'd have been really disappointed with Mike if he had sent me a letter. Far way back.
Two eyes and two? And just be all you do.
Two eyes and two owls and two. Yeah, right.
I'd like to point out to the committee that this packet of information was sent down by the university. It is someplace in the general vicinity of each one of your places.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, they wanted the committee to be sure to have it before they came down 2 weeks from now. It's just general information on their budget, so it's there for you.
If we really studied it, we could catch them up, because by the time they come down in 2 weeks, it'll be entirely different.
Yeah.
Okay, that's about all for today. Tomorrow is permanent time. Thank you.
Chancey's bill to screw up the capital vote?
No.
My bill.
To screw up the capital vote. I'm not going to object to you introducing it, but when you introduce a capital move bill, when you used to support the capital move, it has to be Chancey.
No, it's not Chancey. It's mine.
Right.
Shut up and eat your cake.
Yes, sir.
Oh, geez, I was going to go on a diet today, but Milan has a grip. I only want to eat.
Yeah, right. Well, Milan has to eat his, but he's busy smoking a cigar. Aren't you going to wait for him?
He's funny looking egg, John. He's smoking like I knew it probably won't live at 60.
How old are you?
59.
Oh, you're not so bad. A little worn out around the edges, but not
right.
Bad.
Got a number of bills that need to be assigned.
Committee substitute for House Bill 303, an act creating the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women. Senator Tillian.
Oh, thank you.
House Bill 780, Appropriation Act to Council on Alcoholism, Senator Croft.
780.
Senate Bill 539, eligible costs of state grants for capital improvement projects, Senator Holman.
Yes.
I'm sorry,
you only said
it was 539. And then Senate Bill 475, Senator Nealon, Special Appropriation Department of Transportation.
That's Senate Bill, you said?
Yeah. 475.
And it's dated March
15th. I'll tell Lisa you have that as
well. That's fine. I have a last one.
Did you have one last year? That's right.
Yeah, he gave me one last year. I'm still researching.
Okay, we have a number of bills to
Senate Bill 429.
I wasn't there bringing out my wife.
Senate Bill 510. And
just
what do you want?
429, Senate Bill 429.
Everything, every law enforcement except.
And, Senate Bill 429.
House Bill 652, we passed that
one. Exactly. Student laws, yeah.
Your D2 landfill. Student council.
Yeah.
Tillian.
Yeah, right. Are you going to Senate Bill 459 now?
Senate Bill 429.
All right.
Okay. Ask and bring up for discussion without objection. This is the permanent fund bill from Senator Holman's special committee. And we've taken a lot of testimony. Anybody else want to testify? Anybody want to discuss it?
Oh, no.
Mr. Chairman.
You want to move it? Go ahead.
I move to ask unanimous consent for Senate Bill 429 to pass through committee and let it happen. Do pass recommendation.
Let's see how many do passes.
It's just like the budget, John. You ought to give it a do pass that's going to be settled in free conference anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, let's get that through so we can get it in free conference.
Is there any more business to come before the committee?
Didn't you have two, Bill?
We did.
Hey, Chassis.
Read my copy.
You blew it.
Again? Do you want to bring that other one in? Chassis, do you have any bills to bring up?
No, but I should by Thursday.
So just, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay, would there be any objection to putting out the bill under our name title for $84,000 appropriated to the general fund, Department of Commerce and Economic Development Division of Business Loans for processing the loan application during the fiscal year ending June 30, 78?
No, in fact, I think it's an excellent idea.
What do they need? What do they need?
They're out of, they've got 4,000 loans.
Just put on each.
Extra people, and it takes 6 to 8 months to get a loan approved or disapproved.
Mr. Chairman, I think we better consider writing it like we do the veterans loan program. The reason that we're having so much trouble is the fact that you got all that extra paperwork while you run to the ceiling and then run the paperwork back and forth. You know, the reason that veterans are only 6 weeks behind
well, that's is that
they have a direct grab on revenue.
Right, that's one of the reasons. The other reason that we're having trouble with veterans loans is the governor vetoed the increase
in veterans loans are still not trouble. 6 weeks and you've got your loan.
No, they can't go up. We have an RP, remember?
That's right. We passed it. But the thing still is that the veterans loans are not delayed like the business loans. The business loans are, you have to buy, you can only buy up to the ceiling and then you got to run the paper back and forth. And, you know, they
why is the governor doing that?
The governor isn't doing that.
No, why didn't he have a question of supplemental?
And this is a band-aid to hold something right now. The thing that we should have is a change in the law so that
administration.
Well, you can try. You're trying.
I'm just curious. Why, if it's that bad, why he didn't introduce it? The governor usually introduced all that supplemental.
I think he figured he could get by.
He's you know, really, he's supposed to introduce it.
Oh.
Well,
he is?
I guess so. But I want to do is put in 611.
Do what?
To put it in that bill that's in pre-conference appropriation.
Oh, yeah. There's one in pre-conference.
Yeah. That's okay. Bill 611.
I'm fine.
That way,
that way it's all done, bang.
Immediately without going through a committee system and process and try to make up the deficiencies that you have pointed out.
But I still think we should change the law where, business loans are a direct rate on the treasury, just like veterans. Revenue objectives.
Senator Tillion, you're supposed to be done with your subcommittee this week. You're done?
We are done.
Okay, Croft is done. Holman should be done. Holman should be done.
Holman, are you done?
Am I done?
On your subcommittee?
Transportation? Yeah, we got it.
We've even done polishing.
Orsini hasn't even started yet. Milan, you've got a few more days?
Orsini has started.
Right. A couple little items.
Okay.
When do you want the budget and the floor out of the side house that we're done?
I want to take it up next week.
Should work it out with Zig when you want to put it on. There's no sense leaving it printed for any length of time after we get rid of it.
No, it gets too old.
Yeah.
No. We'll start closing out next week. Okay. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman?
You have to sit here long enough to be the first one.
Unless you wanted to bring up this appropriation on committee substitute for Senate Bill 401, I didn't have as long a time this morning I expected to read just a little more of the background on that $15,000 there for the Fairbanks Town and Village Association's TOPE forum, but you probably have enough background on that and tell us what it's all about.
Okay, I will, yeah, okay, let's bring it up.
401?
401, yeah. Committee substitute here. I don't know if everybody's got a committee substitute in their folder or not, they probably do. Mr. Chairman, it's just a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Safety and the Department of Community and Affairs under the committee substitute. And $37,000 is appropriated and split for their Cordova jail redesign. Now that's the jail in the community building, I believe it is, and make it a little more useful and handy to work, I guess. The prisoner transportation is just an increase that they need because of the increase in prison population in the state in the last year, so especially during the early months of this particular fiscal year. Then the $15,000 is to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for a forum. And from what I can gather and a little bit that I have read about it is just to monitor some of the impact that's going to be taking place in TOPE. And it's similar to the same type that they had in Fairbanks here a year or two ago, and they felt that it was very useful.
The Town and Village Association?
That's where the money would...
And what are they going to use it for?
Okay, what they're doing is they're putting... Town and Village Association is a nonprofit organization that covers all of the interior villages plus Fairbanks and the North Star Borough. And then they're going to use the funds, as Senator Mealon indicated, for monitoring all of the impact that's going to occur down the highway from Fairbanks to the border, having to do with the pipeline. The first thing that they're going to do is that on the 6th and 7th, they're going to have a two-day forum. Diane Loresh is putting it together. From the, where does she work for, DP?
Yeah, she's addictive.
And they're monitoring and putting it together for federal people, Canadian people, state people, and local people, so that everybody knows in advance what's going to happen when they come in with aid.
Wow. They'll probably misuse $15,000 worse than this elsewhere in the budget, so I'm not I'm sorry I asked.
You should have known I'd have my back up on.
Well, the other items, Mr. Chairman, are pretty much just there. They want to redesign the Cordova jail, and I guess they really need it. As it is, pretty well glued up right now as far as being handy to work around, and the prison transportation, I say, is just an increase from more prison population. A lot of it, some of it has to do with this interim use of the, when they close up Bethel, I believe it was, and they shipped a lot of prisoners up to Anchorage.
Yeah, I want to get into just this budget. We've got an empty jail sitting in Kenai.
What is the background on that, Senator Holman? Wasn't there a time when the Bethel jail was closed or something that the prisoners out of Bethel and brought to Anchorage?
Not necessarily a lead up discussion. Bethel jail was denied, the state was denied access to Bethel jail because they weren't funding the operation costs. They were giving something like $40 a day, and the actual cost was higher than that. And then so they shipped them out, so they said, fine, you know, we're going to keep the prison. So part of that $50,000.
And now are they opened again and doing business?
Yeah.
We got another one of those in Kenai that they've never struck a deal with. You know, they built the jail, and now it sits empty. They didn't build it big enough, you know, the cost of operating it with only 10 or 12 prisoners is a real loser.
Okay, is there any questions on this?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I move that and ask unanimous consent that you move like to substitute for Senate Bill 401, we
unanimous do pass.
Is there objection? Without objection, so ordered.
I think we should have a supplemental to leg iron, you know, that'd be a lot cheaper. We could get more of the cell that way. Even Socialist Sweden has work camps for their EWIs, you know, with up to 6 months digging ditches and making roads for DWI. And they do, it's not a chain gang.
You're going to get that out.
I don't know, I was going to think about amending it for a month work program cleaning ditches.
Are you just going to get the DWI bill out of it?
I don't know. We tried it the other day. Coletta and I brought it up and got a real cold look.
Okay, any further bills?
Well, Mr. Chairman, one thing I want to make clear, Senate Bill 100, that making miscellaneous transfers and termination, I brought that up once, and I don't intend to bring that up again. It shows up on my bill design.
Response this?
We're aware.
Okay. 100. Senate Bill 100. 240, amending the oil and gas reserves ad valorem tax was last year.
Mm-hmm. I'll bring it up, and I'll vote for it anytime you bring it up.
Hey, what'd you guys do in resources yesterday?
Well, Chancey and I weren't there.
Oh. You noticed that? You didn't get a quorum?
We passed out a resolution annulling the drinking water regulations.
Gee whiz.
And we discussed 322, the franchise tax bill, that they wanted to wait until it comes to cost.
My village has a dry one in once in a while, but this is ridiculous. No drinking water?
Well, you know, the booze lobby's been working on it for years.
Chairman, let me ask about Senate Bill 363, creating a state program for individualized reading instruction. How much enthusiasm is there on the committee for that? That was Senator Hackman's bill.
Yeah,
raise your hands if you're enthusiastic.
I was for it.
This is not that volunteer thing, is it?
Yeah,
it is. They do a good job.
I just listened to Hackman that one day.
Oh,
well,
we had
like
that.
Like
it's
a repeat. And,
that's what it seemed to be.
All the time, or many times, we're involved in Band-Aid operations, right?
That's a Band-Aid operation.
We create another parallel organization and do the same thing.
$398 supplemental appropriation to the Office of the Governor Public Defender.
They withdrew that.
I don't know.
Chassie, are you just looking for thoughts to disturb our mind?
I think I'm saying I'm not going to bring
that
up.
What about the bottle bill? Why don't we bring that up?
Okay. Assigned to you.
Meeting is adjourned.
I have the committee substitute handed it over to Judy, and so. They'll have copies in all their files, won't they, on 171?
They should be in there now.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to look at what the new bottle bill is, just take a look in 171. It will definitely take the initiative off.
Mr. Chairman, when do you expect to take up the bill? This week or?
Any kind are ready. Doesn't matter, any kind.
I have committee substitute for House Bill 773 and for special appropriation of the Department of Fish and Game, and it concerns this logbook. That's not a very large appropriation, but I'd like to have Sherry Gross up here.
Sure.
So if you could.
That's a great idea.
Tomorrow.
Make it like tomorrow.
Get Sherry up here.
You can bring the bill up too.
Will you call her then?
Sure.
All right.
What does Sherry work for?
United Fisherman of Alaska.
Bill Daniels is coming out with. You hear his thing on fishery rehabilitation?
No.
On the radio the last couple of weeks. Canada is putting $600 million into the fishery program. The technology is there. Questions?
That's to get these guys to vote for their assessment. Thank God limited entry took fish hatcheries out of the political arena for the commercial fisheries. Fish hatcheries should be for sportsmen.
Support you.
the commercial can build their own hatchery.
Well, why in the hell did we authorize $40 million last time?
I voted against it, if you'll remember, John. If you want to look up the records, I was against putting it out. And I voted against it on the floor. Because U.S. Soccer says why. The only way the commercial can defend themselves is to build their own hatcheries and point out to the commercial.
Don't we have anything else besides one bill for tomorrow? It's a tough time.
I have Brad Swanson's bill.
Let's take up House Bill 780 tomorrow, Special Appropriation of the National Council on Alcoholism. And, do you know how quick you want to act on House Bill 642, Special Appropriation of Mortgage Insurance Fund of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation?
Did I say that to you?
Yes, sir.
That was one you were going to keep yourself, wasn't it, John?
You want it yourself?
You sure I said it to you?
It shows up that way right here. You're welcome to have it.
I have that feeling the only thing that ever gets assigned to me are ones that never wants back out.
Well, I got complaints from other members of the committee that you were getting too many bills.
Well, yeah, every time I bring one up and say, Mr. Chairman, he said, not today.
You can't stand the heat. The chairman doesn't run all my pressure. That's your
chairman. I would say, go see Flash.
Yeah, you do. I have a line waiting in my office every day for these bills that you've assigned to me and then won't let me bring up.
Look at Lisa.
I've got the bottle bill.
I know you have.
I haven't.
You mentioned that every once in a while. I haven't
mentioned that already. Well, he didn't expect me. He thought I'd take it and drop it into a deep file, but I didn't.
No, I didn't.
So what are we doing on the commission on the status of women?
I gave it to Clem.
This Clem has it.
He's holding that, Clem.
Study it.
You just got it.
I just got it today.
What do we plan to bring it up?
You have one too. It's under the project.
Oh. I don't know. It's going to take some time, Chancey.
Pete, do you have any problems with my raising tuition at university? I need that.
What could they do?
What funds is it?
No, low tuition loan program.
Your part.
Oh, which one is it?
It doesn't make any difference. There's some things that are close to my heart.
We do that. You just did that today.
No, you know that no convention is going to pass.
Oh, shoot.
You're going to try and hold
when you're prepared to I'll get all the facts out.
I'm just saying that you know it's going to happen.
Uh-huh. What number are we talking about?
Senate Bill 453.
The House or nothing else?
For what?
453.
Oh, for that.
453.
What I'm calling. If the price gets right.
Student loans, yeah. 453.
What the? I thought that was a check. Does it look like a check?
Yeah.
What is it?
A bill.
It says candidates. Campaigns are costly, but we can save you a bundle. Anchorage Printing Company extends the only commercial web press in Alaska.
How do they know you're a candidate?
Are you for the dry community?
How come I didn't get one?
What did you want to do?
You're not up for re-election this year.
You must be telling us something.
What's the situation on recall?
What do you want to do on 642?
What's 642?
That's that supplemental appropriation to Alaska Housing Finance.
Let's put it out.
Talk, look, research it. And see me after the meeting.
that's a great question. I finally went, you know, on that agricultural one, Chancey. I finally asked that Joyce could give them.
Yeah.
You know, that 281, there's no reason to hold the son of a gun. The farmer is desperately needed. I'm getting tired of taking heat for a bill that I approved.
We just took care of him today with 429.
Huh?
We just took care of much better than
489. No, because you know that they're. This season will have come and gone before anything that happens in 429 will affect that.
Why is that? You've got this non-controversial vehicle, 429?
Yes,
George. It's shooting right through.
But
right.
Aside from whether they even, supposing your bill passed, it still wouldn't do it.
How is Buttrow?
Because it won't help this
county.
I heard that yesterday that he had his temperature was up again.
Oh, yeah.
That's on 12th day.
Oh, he came out of the hospital?
Yes, he did last week. And then he developed an intestinal problem that raised his temperature.
Must be an infection then.
George, this is just a sprinkler system.
Yeah.
And they can't use it for anything.
Okay, we're done. Is either a jail or a treatment facility?
Call the committee meeting to order. Senator Sackett will be here within a few minutes. Representative Rode is out of town and will not be here representing the House of Representatives. Will be Representative Miles, Senator Sackett, myself, who represent the Senate, Commissioner LaResch, Attorney General Gross, representing the administration. And here with us today from Alcan Pipeline, Walt LeBlanco and Jim Allen. Gentlemen, this is intended to be a formal discussion from my communication with my colleagues, so I'll open it by letting you present your lead-off statements.
Thank you, Senator. One small correction. We are now Northwest Alaska Pipeline Company as of the first of the year. And we certainly do appreciate the opportunity to be here to present to you what we have termed a discussion memorandum for alternatives for the state's participation in our project, or in the Alaskan segment of what we term the Alaska Highway Pipeline Project. We did take the opportunity earlier in the day to distribute this to all the members of the committee. I will say, by way of background, that this has resulted from the last meeting that when we were here in Juneau, and John McMillian, our chairman, made a presentation to joint the committees chaired by Representative Miles and I believe Senator Rader, if I'm correct. And as a result of that, in discussions with the governor, the House leadership, this particular committee has been formed to consider the alternates that we have proposed here in this document. This does represent the careful, considered opinion of our management and their financial advisors. We feel the document does speak for itself, and would certainly welcome any questions in that regard. I would say, however, that at this point in time, we would wish to desire to respond to those questions after having taken them back and discussed them with our management. In particular, I will make mention of the fact that since our last visit here, a partnership has been formed. Northwest Alaskan Pipeline Company is the operator under the terms of that general partnership agreement. And the other parties to that partnership are set out in the document. They are subsidiaries of Northern Natural Gas Company, United Gas Pipeline Company, Pacific Lighting Company, Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Panhandle Eastern Company, and ourselves, representing the six companies forming that partnership group. In view of that fact, I'm sure you can appreciate the fact that any policy matters will require discussion with members of the board of partners as they have been set out under that partnership agreement. I think that concludes my formal remarks. Thank you.
Let me ask the first question with regard to the procedural matters and the way we'll conduct the negotiations, if that's the appropriate word. What procedure do you anticipate, or which procedure would you prefer in dealing with this question of state participation in the gas line? How would you like to see us handle all the matters that will require discussion?
I think at this point in time, we would appreciate either your oral questions regarding this document, or if it better serves you, written questions. And again, we could take back to the Board of Partners and discuss and so returning and giving you the position of the partnership. Again, appreciate Northwest Alaskan as operator under the terms of that partnership agreement, but we are only one of the partners. Let me, Richard, if the administration would care to join us at the table there, certainly didn't intend for you to sit at the back of the room, and all of us are equal partners in the discussion, and we'd very much like to have as informal and free exchange of ideas as possible. I beg your pardon, Mr. Governor? There'll be questions that will relate to proprietary information, I suspect, and these you may be somewhat hesitant to talk about in an open session. I know this question is going to come up, so let me pose it right now. In those cases, how do you intend to handle those matters which your company considers proprietary and more would be more inclined to discuss in an executive session?
Well, I'm not sure, other than what I've just described in terms of how we would wish to respond, whether it's proprietary or non-proprietary, I think our desires would be that we could respond in that manner.
We'll just kick the press out.
Senator Rohde, I understand that the administration and the legislature are going to cooperate in this exploration, but is it your intention to have a committee of the legislature actually attempt to negotiate some sort of agreement with Northwest?
I use the word negotiation in the loosest, and I think discussion is perhaps a better word. And it will be the intent of the committee, I think, that will determine how we handle this matter, and would appreciate your input at this point. I think it's important to determine the procedural course that we'll take. I think discussion of the alternatives, so we can each carry it back to the people we represent, in my case the Senate, and in your case, of course, the administration. And I in no way imply that we can commit any body of the state via our discussions. Would value your suggestion with regard to the conduct of the discussions.
Just a suggestion, Senator Rohde, because I think both the governor and the legislature are really anxious to cooperate on this one, and I don't want to step on toes or do anything like that. I honestly think it would be more appropriate if instead of acting as a joint body, we had representatives of the administration discuss with Northwest various options and bring them to this committee, to discuss them with this committee. I think if the legislature actually becomes a participant in the negotiations, you risk two things. First of all, you risk co-opting your own branch of government, in the sense of, since you are a party to all the discussions, I think you're going to have a very difficult time criticizing it on the floor. I think you must stand behind that. And secondly, I think you're going to create problems in the legislative body itself when people feel they may be excluded from the process. Such as that. It's just a suggestion, and I don't want to certainly get into power play here. That's not the intention. And as you know, the governor was very anxious to cooperate with you, but it seems to me there has to be some procedure worked out just for simply sitting down and a give and take of the negotiations. And it's my impression that the legislature would be better to basically set parameters and have the administration officials come to them and say, this is where we are, and you say, well, if that's something you couldn't. Why don't you go back and try something else and deal with it in that way rather than actually trying to negotiate through a committee.
I appreciate your concerns, Mr. Attorney General, and would value the committee. Representative Miles?
Well, was my understanding that the other request that we all sit down and try and throw a few things out on the table. I certainly wouldn't want to get into the administrative the negotiation. Throw some things out on the table. I think that's what I
mean. I'm more talking about the actual sitting down and we actually get into the hard negotiations of this.
That's not fun. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Let me take, in the case of the Senate, this question back to our body and talk with leadership, and because we represent the respective houses, and see what their pleasure will be on this question. I think at this point, we'll be very busy discussing some of the broad parameters and some of the questions that each respective branch has. The legislature will, of course, consider any resolution with regard to the project. Therefore, communication between the administration and the legislature and Northwest will be helpful in terms of providing the legislature with as much knowledge of any resolution as possible. However, on the other hand, I don't think any of us here want to usurp the power of the administration. Each of us, you know, realize we're co-equal branches, and each of us has our own responsibilities. Perhaps we can deal with this question tomorrow after I've had a chance to talk with respective members of the Senate, and I suspect that I can't speak for Representative Oz, but I suspect that he will, of course, be talking with the people that he represents.
Senator?
Commissioner Rash?
I agree with what you just said. I think maybe a beneficial way we can use this time today, though, is to go on and maybe talk generally with these gentlemen about what they really intend to do and try to convince whichever branch they have to convince. And I would just like to, this body would like to ask them the question as to whether or not they're going to get a proposal or continue to get kind of conceptual loose discussions. I mean, the way I see it, some might disagree with me, but you've come to us asking to borrow a lot of money from us, and you've at least implicitly said, now we want you to come back to us and tell us on what terms you'll lend us the money. I personally feel that we'd like to see an offer from you, an offer in some detail, which we could, of course, discuss before you make it. But is that in your plans?
Well, Commissioner, it's my understanding that the latter comment you made was kind of the step we're at now, that rather than come to you with what we would term to be a specific proposal, we purposely prepared this in a discussion memorandum form, setting out a variety of options with the idea that this could be explored to determine both from the standpoint of the project and the state what would be the most beneficial of these particular options. Again, we're taking this kind of step at a time. I think we're at that middle step now, or we're walking into that.
Well, I guess I'm suggesting that it's kind of difficult to choose which are the best options when there's so little information and so little detail. And admittedly, since you want us to be the first to jump, you don't know a lot of the details yet. But certainly your resources, you as the borrower, have a lot more resources to look into these details than we as the lender who are approaching.
Representative Biles?
Perhaps you can give us an indication of what you absolutely feel you very much do absolutely have to have a state plan.
Well, I'm really not sure I'm in a position now to go certainly beyond the statements that Mr. McMillian made in our last visit here in Juneau in terms of the magnitude of the participation that we had hoped would be forthcoming from the state. Certainly while we talked in conceptual terms at that time, we did attempt to set out all the reasons why the state is certainly a party of interest and why it's to their benefit and certainly our mutual benefit to participate in the financing.
Sort of hanging up here, I think, on who goes first. But if I suppose all negotiations start that way, in a way. I think
I have a set of demands.
No, I think that we're just in a position where we obviously, I don't think either branch would consider, I think, participating in the financing unless we think it's a you know, a good deal for the state, and at the same time, we don't know what kinds of things Alcan is willing to do to ensure that we do end up with a good deal for the state. I mean, it's meaningless to us, for instance, if we were to say to you, for instance, I'll just take a hypothetical, we want laterals connecting all Alaska communities to the gas line. That's one of the conditions on which we would consider financing. And if you say that's ridiculous, we wouldn't, you know, remotely consider that. Then at least we, you know, we're dealing with, you know, concrete things. All we have now is a need, a spoken need, and a sort of a hesitancy on our part to plunge. I don't know where we start and where we go.
Well, as I, you know, say, let me repeat, we, you know, we do look at this as a step-by-step process, and as a result of our last meetings here, we felt that there was a need for a better understanding of the project, the general financing plan, and some of the options as we view those options without expressing a preference in terms of which of those options the state might feel best serve their interests. Again, this is where we are now, and this is what this document attempts to present.
You, last time you were here, you said you were going to do some legal research regarding the potential problems in securing an investment with whatever gas and things like that. Do you have any of that to do with your business?
Our lawyers will be prepared to meet with your lawyers and the Attorney General They're very complex matters upon which the opinion of the Attorney General is very relevant in many instances. And certainly we're prepared to do that at any pre-designated time.
I think our...
The extent of that legal research has substantially all been done. It's not a particular memorandum. And the reason for it being is we intended to disregard that and let you yourself decide. And we would give you such input as we had within the legalities of your constitutional legislative framework. He also, in his memorandum, asked for certain specific things. We do ask for, as we many times suggested, somewhere between $1.2 billion and $1.4 billion. And we suggest that you come in on the same basis as all of the other investors, and that's all in there. Now, to the extent of being more specific, I think if you address yourself to those specificities, we'll certainly try to get you those answers. The point we're trying to make is we're not in a position now to respond yes or no to any one of those specifics for obvious reasons. And for example, if you wanted something that we would say, yes, we would do this if provided we had certain things, we would attempt to respond to those.
Representative Gardner?
There is a point being made here, and that is that the analogy that the commissioner gave, that state of Alaska is to be seen as some kind of investor, an entity that has a bunch of money that could put it in certain different places. And you're somebody that's looking for money. For that kind of system to work, it kind of presumes that both groups have a clear idea of what they want. And I don't think the state has a clear idea of what it wants except more. And we haven't thought about it much beyond that. I guess I'm not even sure we defined what exactly we would get. Now, let's say that your proposal went through and was successful and what have you. I'm not sure we know exactly what the benefits that we see from the state standpoint is that we would get. But obviously, before we consider an investment, I think we, you know, if there's any kind of negotiation process that's going to go on between the lender and the borrower, we should know what is it that we want to get. And I can see that places you in some difficulty. Us putting you in a position of, well, tell us what you'll give us and we'll see if it's enough. And I think that's kind of what we're doing. We haven't sat down and said, well, here's what we're going to get now. And if we invest money over here in this project, it happens to be a gas pipeline, we're going to get these additional benefits beyond which we're not going to get now. And I don't think that we've sat down and done that. And I don't think that the administration can go off and negotiate for the legislature until we've done that. And I think that that's part of the stall here.
Could I suggest that, that possibly we're remiss in not having furnished this earlier, this document earlier than we did, but we have additional copies here for anyone that would be interested. I would like to suggest that after you, again, recognizing that they very well have not had the opportunity to review this, but after you have, if then an appropriate meeting could be held to discuss the concerns or questions you have in this document itself.
I think what the, both the legislature and the administration are saying is that we would like to have a series of proposed points as one would in beginning negotiations on a contract. There are undoubtedly from 10 to several hundred points that each party would want to consider very seriously. What I hear is the fact that we want to see these. For example, the general proposal has been Alaska's oil or reserve gas would be used as a backup for the sale of revenue bonds. These revenue bonds would be sold in the total amount of 1.2 to 1.4 billion, sold in series as necessary to pay for the state's portion of participation in the gas line. This is roughly the proposal as I understand it. There are a number of questions, starting with some very basic premises such as, can the state use reserve gas, reserve royalty gas, as a credit or as a guarantee for bonds? There are any one of a number of questions relating to actual questions with regard to cost overruns, completion of the line, many other things. I think that there are quite numerous, and we would want a specific proposal on from you on each of these points.
Again, that was not the purpose of our visit this time. Certainly, you know, we have viewed this as a step-by-step process, and we're at one of the first steps at this point in time.
Commissioner Rush, you've been very involved in negotiations on behalf of the state of Alaska with regard to other agreements. What suggestions do you have with regard to putting the discussions that we anticipate in the motion?
Yeah, of course, most of our negotiations are with the seller rather than the buyer. But I essentially agree with Terry's idea. I think that the six of us here ought to come up with a shopping list and say, here are the things that the state would like to get on the list. And then I think the very strong burden is on the potential borrower to outline how we can get those things. But I think that we should have a list. Representative Miles has done a very good job, I think, putting a preliminary such list together. And I think just get together and build on that.
What was the purpose of your trip this time? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Well, I think it was simply to present our discussion memorandum, which was an agreement, at least understanding that I had from our last visit, that we would prepare a document spelling out in considerably more detail, describing the project, describing our views of the financing plan, and then coming up with some specific alternate options that the state might use for their participation in the project. Without, again, expressing any preference on our part for which of these options best serves the interests of the state.
Okay, this is the legal vehicle then that you are proposing, the authority concept of public corporation.
Well, I would hesitate to call it a legal vehicle. Well, I'm sorry.
there is one option in there that we have spelled out, termed a new authority, and it is one of the options that we view as a vehicle whereby the state can participate.
Certainly not the only one, but one of the others are available to the state.
Could I ask some questions regarding the presentation?
Yes.
Could you give us the present status of your financing commitments that have been made towards financing the pipeline today? Last time we talked about the fact that you were going or about to put together a consortium of companies. The banks had not been contacted, as I recall. The oil companies were not interested. Has that changed at all?
Well, it has changed to the extent, and we have set this out in here, that certainly with regard to the partnership group that would form the foundation for the equity investment in the Alaskan segment, we have now assembled a group of six companies that have entered into and executed a general partnership agreement. The name of the partnership, the matter of interest, is Alaskan Northwest Natural Gas Transportation Company. Under the terms of the agreement, as I mentioned before, Northwest Alaskan Pipeline Company does have the responsibilities as operator for that partnership and has the specific responsibilities to design, construct, and ultimately operate the Alaskan segment of the project. So that has been accomplished. Most recently, just last Friday, the last member of the six-member group, Pacific Gas and Electric, has signed. So they are now a party to that. We would be hopeful that before long, other large U.S. Gas transmission companies would also enter that partnership. But at least we do have a nucleus of rather substantial natural gas companies in the United States that have stepped forward and formed this partnership. With regard to other contacts, we have had numerous conversations with banks, commercial banks, major insurance companies. We certainly have not attempted any negotiations. Walter, you may speak to those contacts.
As we suggested, that the if you will, we feel that the founders companies have been organized by virtue of the six basic partners. We have room to take more. However, we feel that this is a singular accomplishment. In addition to that, we have as are in within us the two of the largest banks, the two largest banks in the United States, as our financial advisors and hopefully participants. It seems to flow from that at the appropriate time, that being the Bank of America and the Citibank in New York City. And in addition to that, there have been contacts with the three of the largest insurance companies in the United States, all of which have evidenced considerable interest in pursuing the investment in this project. And indeed, that's why we're here with you.
Representative Miles?
Of the six transmission companies listed in the large branch indicated, has there been any dollar commitment to date to the project in equity?
Yes, it's being done on a step-by-step basis, but...
Are you looking to tell us, you know, who has set the
basic, I don't know to what extent that partnership agreement is a matter of public knowledge, but there is a basic budget for the first 6 months,
well,
which is a very significant...
Yeah, without... well, I think the thing that has been made public is the fact that we would anticipate, in order to stay on the schedule that we're looking at of an in-service date of January 83, years 78 and 9 would require pre-construction expenditures in the area of $200 million. Now, this group of six partners has entered into an agreement to fund those on a step-by-step basis. Now, it's a six-month step basis. They have agreed to undertake those things necessary to be done within the next 6 months.
This is over and above with permanent financing.
That's right.
So this is the foundation share.
So that I understand, you have equity committed of $200 million?
No, I didn't say that. first 2 years requirements are in the area of $200 million. It's anticipated that those parties certainly would go forward and fund all the necessary expenditures. However, legally, they have committed themselves to the first 6 months. The agreement, however, contemplates that this will go beyond that, and in fact will go to the point when the formal or the final commitments have been made by those partners, which, with the single exception of Northwest Alaska, would be representative of their share of gas that they're transporting through the system. Prior to that point, they're sharing on an equal basis.
What type of timetable are you looking at in terms of the total financing of the construction portion?
Well, let me try to start at one end and work back to the other, because that's the way we've had to look at it. And in order to place the system into service in 83, we feel certain things have to be done. Two full years of construction, pipeline construction, compressor station construction, and those would be the years 81 and 82. There's considerable civil work that would be done in the year 80, basically communication systems, access roads, bringing materials in for the construction of the following 2 years. So that in order to commit for, in order to meet that kind of a construction schedule, the first major dollar commitment would be for pipe that would have to be made in the last quarter of 79, so that in order to make that commitment, the financing must be in place. All parties agreed and ready to close on the financing, whereby funds could be drawn down. Now again, in order to meet that and consideration of the regulatory process that's involved both in the United States and Canada, we would anticipate having to make a filing of the financing plan along with all other considerations of the project with the regulatory agencies in the first quarter of 79. So that where we are with regard to specifically the financing is a need to have conditional commitments from all parties, both debt and equity, in place by the first quarter of 79. So that they could be filed with the commissions, the FDRC, the NED in Canada, allowing them sufficient time for approval so that we would have be able to start drawing those funds down, making the major commitments the latter part of 79.
The documentation would be finished by the first quarter, really. The active process of obtaining those commitments would certainly be in the last quarter of this year.
You're telling us then that you anticipate a decision from the legislature this session, and indeed in view of your schedule would require a decision from the legislature on this question.
And I think that was the statement Mr. McMillian made our last visit up here. Things have not changed.
Representative Gardner?
When you say some kind of commitment from the legislature, I'm not sure what. I mean, you've kind of recited to us the kind of step-by-step procedure that your company is going to go through, and at each point they're going to take a look at where they are and make sure that the viability of the project still exists, and things haven't changed and new information hasn't come in. But at each stage, it would seem to me that we're going to be involved with some kind of partner, however you do it, but the state would have to be in the same kind of position that we couldn't commit. It wouldn't be wise to commit ourselves and say, well, we're going to do this for the next 10 years, that we'd have to be just like you and say, okay, well, we think it looks like a good idea, you know, and then we go down the road and get more information and further define the detail. And then, you know, at some point, you sign the check, I guess.
Or we wouldn't ask you to sign the check or transfer funds or commit funds any sooner than any other investor would be. What we are asking you is to recognize the fact that this is a governmental agency and you're not in a position to act like other money industries are. Therefore, we're asking you at the very minimum to establish that machinery that will permit you to invest on the same basis as others. That's why it requires, in our judgment, legislative action this year. We're not asking for anything more than others are giving, or to the extent that you feel necessary, obviously.
And I think the point that Walter made, and let me make sure it's understood, that the commitment is not a binding commitment until all other parties, all other investors and lenders are satisfied and made similar.
You would be willing to include that in a contract?
These are conditions
that
we would anticipate.
Let me give you an idea of the way these things are structured, if you will. When you have a project financing such as this, you discuss primarily simultaneously the different levels of the financing with all of the interested parties. Now, those interested parties would have their own representatives. For example, there would be a representative for the senior lenders. They would have their own counsel. They would advise them as to the documentation is necessary. They would also have their own independent experts, giving them such comfort as is necessary in order to show that what, if you will, the project builder is stating is accurate. That would require engineers and every other spectrum of technical experts that you can imagine. On a project of this size, be rest assured that those lenders, such as the state of Alaska, would require that and would get that. Now, when all of these things fit into place, there would be a document signed which would be a commitment. And that document would commit certain things to be invested on a periodic basis, providing other things happen, such as, for example, governmental authorities, there's no litigation, there's nothing to stop it. And then these commitments are triggered as the pipeline progresses. It's a continuous process. We're talking of $10 billion. Obviously, this $10 billion isn't taken away and put it in the fund. It's taken as needed in chunks, in bites, in investments. Every time those investments are made, you get the same assurance and all the others from their experts. And thus it is done. The same way on a very much smaller scale, as a house is built, as a hotel is built, as a factory is built. And we're asking the state to put themselves in this posture for their benefit and obviously for others. But primarily it has to be for theirs, otherwise we won't.
If we did go forward with this, could you give us or verbalize some of the alternative methods, technical methods by which to accomplish this? You mentioned for just the Rapley authority.
No, Senator, I think the memorandum spells out others. If you have any questions,
I haven't read it.
This spells out other areas whereby either the financing can be obtained or funds can be obtained. They're all for your consideration.
Are these the revenue, state debt, bond authority? Revenue bonds?
The state debt, the general revenue.
Are you talking about page 18?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We put these forward for your consideration, Senator. The judgment as to which is preferable to yet to be obviously made by you.
It's an alternative to completion guarantee.
It well, even if it, it would, it's in effect, it encompasses a completion guarantee.
That's right. You're saying with this capital pool of X percent of estimated cost, no large investor will require a completion guarantee.
Yes, sir.
Could you expand upon that? I frankly, I can't believe that.
Well, in a very real sense, all true capital project financing is done on that basis. Now, there are many, many projects which are undertaken without a quote completion guarantee, and they are done on the basis of the strength of that project. They are not financed, however, unless there is some reasonable assurance or enough assurance in the part of the investor that they will get that completion. And you try to narrow that down to such levels as satisfies any reasonable man, so that the risk is practically zero. There's no zero risk in anything. And it's done for example, on a very detailed analysis of the budget. There are going to be certain items in the budget that are going to require a greater guarantee, a greater degree of flexibility, or, if you will, contingencies than others. But others can be very carefully planned. In terms of the ordering of specific fixed equipment, you'll be able to set it, you'll be able to order that equipment and know what you're going to pay for within certainly the margin of errors that we're talking about. There'll be other areas where you'll not be able to, and you'll give a greater percentage of margin for error in there. And after all of these things are assembled on the basis of very careful and detailed analytical study, you come up with a number that's going to satisfy you and say, look, on this basis, you together with all of the other investors, on this basis, you have no reasonable basis to conclude this will not be completed.
Do you have an example of a project, a good analogy, I mean, a very labor-intensive sort of frontier project like this that's been financed on that basis?
I'm not going to suggest, sir, that there are many $10 billion projects. This accentuates the problem, of course. But there are many. I'm sure that some of the buildings in this particular town were done on that basis, albeit on a much smaller scale. Hotels are built by this basis.
I'm suggesting this is conceptually different, not just a matter of degree. It's not that it's $10 billion, but it's that it's in Alaska and Canada, and it follows the Trans-Alaska Pipeline.
No, I think that the Trans-Alaska Pipeline was an exception. I think, for example, the Trans-Canada Pipeline was done this way. All pipelines were done this way. The initial framework was done this way, but we're not living at the same time. But when those pipelines were financed, the Texas Eastern Line, they were all financed the same way. That is, you had contracts for gas in situ, you had the purchase of contracts on the other side, and then you required so much to bridge that with if you will, a method of communication, that being the pipeline. And then when you know you've got that gas and you know you've got the buyers, the middle part is the easiest.
Let me pursue that.
There was no, if you will, third party suggesting that that pipeline would inevitably come in, regardless of whatever catastrophic events would be.
Right, I understand that. Earlier you said that you hope to have all your financing commitments in place by fourth quarter this year.
We would certainly hope that.
You just said that you've got to have the gas sales pretty firmed up before anyone commits. Finance.
Gas sales?
Yeah. Can you honestly say you expect the gas sales to occur before the fourth quarter of this year?
Well, what I think we can, I think that relates to the tariff, that relates to a great number of things.
Well, of course, the thing basically relates to is the energy legislation pending in Congress right now that would establish a price of gas that would permit the producers to go forward, negotiate contracts with the buyers, and permit the project to negotiate transportation service agreements with those same buyers. We are hopeful, and I think I can honestly say we are hopeful that this will be resolved very shortly, permitting us to stay on that schedule that I just described for you. Now, there's been slippage in this thing, but I think we are hopeful that it will be resolved and permit us to stay on that same schedule.
It doesn't get resolved. What happens?
Well, and I think again, this question was asked to Mr. McMillan last time we were here, and if it doesn't doesn't get resolved in legislation, FERC is prepared on an expedited basis to undertake the establishment of the price of that gas under their procedures, under the terms of the Natural Gas Act. However, we, you know, again, we have to be honest, if that happens, it will result in a delay of anywhere from 8 to 12 months.
No way we can even speak in terms of what we were talking about.
We are hopeful that legislation will be worked on very shortly, permit us to stay on this. One, let me volunteer one thing here. I think Commissioner Marish mentioned a labor-intensive project. I think a very preliminary analysis that we made that would indicate that about 50% of the estimated cost represents fixed tangible items that Walter described and in fact can get a good handle on. The other 50% is the other area, the labor-intensive area.
Mr.
Just conceptually, would you be willing to include some consideration of the ultimate tariff as part of the agreement with the state financer? Tariff for the royalty share, for example?
Well, let me not try to commit myself here, but rather describe rather describe for you the process that we or any other natural gas pipeline company is faced with in terms of the tariff conditions. And under the Natural Gas Act, what used to be the Federal Power Commission, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, has the responsibility to approve all tariff conditions. The partnership that I described will be a natural gas company subject to the Natural Gas Act. So that while we may have some views and desires have some of those reflected as conditions with the state, it is necessary to understand that the ultimate decision and approval on that part is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I'm not saying that, again, I'm not trying to negotiate.